John Weldon here. I'd like you to join me in our Bible study in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter has to do with the humility that was so much needed here at Philippi. There was some difficulty at Philippi and contention between Christians is always caused by pride. We're told this in the book of Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Some of the Philippians wanted a higher place than others. And so in the first part of this chapter, he tells us about the Lord Jesus and his wonderful humility, his seven successive steps downward, even to the death of the cross. Then he tells us from verse 19, where we're beginning in our study just now, about Timotheus and what a humble brother he was. And then at verse 25, he tells about Epaphroditus, another humble brother who gave himself freely for the help of the Lord's people. And of course, in writing the biography of these, the Apostle Paul is revealing his own character, and there are several things in this chapter that would indicate that he too was a very humble man. For instance, he says in verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. None of this arrogance of a man who claims infallibility. This is my plan, this is what I'm going to do. But he trusts that the Lord will so direct. And then he says, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Notice he doesn't say he is one of the servants of this great archbishop. Instead of that, he is simply the father in the Lord of this young man, Timothy. He had led Timothy to Christ. There's no place for pride in the Lord's things. There's no place for pride in the Lord's service. Now he says, I trust to send Timotheus shortly to you that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now he was in prison. He didn't ask that he might be able to get out of prison so as to be of good comfort, but he would be of good comfort when he heard about the state of these Christians. And here's his recommendation for Timothy. I have no man like-minded, or literally equal-souled, who has the same kind of a soul that I have, who feels as I do, who will naturally, or the Revised Version says, who will genuinely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I think this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Paul was at Rome. There were many Christians at Rome. Read the last chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, and you'll see that he salutes many of them, and he says nice things about many of them also. And yet, he said, I don't have one person who genuinely cares, because all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In the book of Haggai, the prophet rebukes the children of Israel in the Old Testament because every man was running to his own house, taking care of his own things, and nobody cared about the house of the Lord. Well, it's still true. There are very few people who genuinely care for others. Most of us have our own interests. We're willing to do something that it doesn't discommode us. But he says, you know the proof of him, of Timothy, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. To serve in the gospel, of course, means to preach the gospel. And this involved a great deal of travel. It involved a lot of hardship. It involved a lot of dishonor at the hands of men and being persecuted. But they spread the gospel. What are you and I as Christians doing to spread the gospel now? Or maybe I'm talking to someone who has never yet received the gospel. What does the gospel story mean to you? The gospel means the good news. The good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. This gospel that has cost so much to be brought down to us, have you received it? And if you have received it, are you preaching it? Now he says, him therefore I hope to send presently. I hope shows that he was looking to the Lord for guidance. He was willing to do what was the Lord's will. He was in prison, but he believed that the Lord was going to release him. And as near as we can tell from what history we have, he probably was released for a little while, and then was imprisoned again, and finally gave his life in the Lord's service. Died as a martyr. Now he says in verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. We don't know a great deal about Epaphroditus, but we know that these Christians had sent him to Paul to carry some money to help him. He's called a brother, a companion in labor, and a fellow soldier. Now, the first thing is to be a brother. You must be a brother in God's family before you can serve in God's family. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you been born into the family of God? If you have, are you a companion in labor? Are you willing to do your share? Or are 10% of the people where you go to meetings doing 90% of the work? A companion in labor and a fellow soldier. Now, a soldier is not seeking his own comforts. He's representing his country. Notice that he's called a messenger, which really means an ambassador. The Lord honors his people. He gives them titles that are worthwhile, not the kind the world gives. Then he said he ministered to my wants, which means that he served as a priest, a priestly service, which God accepts. Anything that we do for one of his own, according to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, is a sacrifice acceptable unto God. Then he tells us that this man had been sick, and he said he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now, most of us are glad when folks hear that we've been sick and they make over us, but he was disturbed because he was afraid they would suffer from hearing that he was sick. Isn't that unselfish and Christ-like? Indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. Some people tell us that sickness is always punishment. They tell us that no one would ever be sick if he had faith. But here's one of the most godly men mentioned in the Scripture, and he was sick. Was God punishing him? Was he chastening him as a child that was disobedient? Well, of course not. Read the rest of the chapter and you'll see why he was sick. Paul, too, had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord three times that he might take it away, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Trophimus, another godly young man, has to be left at Miletus, sick. You see, the sign gifts had largely disappeared before the Apostle Paul's death. They were given for the childhood of the church, and Christians who are constantly occupied with the sign gifts are usually childish and very undeveloped Christians. Indeed, he was sick nigh unto death, verse 27 says, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. God had raised him up, as he is able to do for any of us. I send him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Now, there's something wonderful about the brotherly love that makes us care for each other, that makes us rejoice when we see each other. It's a kind of a preview of what it'll be in heaven. It's going to be wonderful when we're together with all the Lord's people. It's going to be very wonderful when we're in the presence of God and we see all of his own, because God has made us to love each other. Shame on us that we allow anything to divide us as Christians today. What silly little things we're disturbed over. How we'll allow these things to separate us from God's dear children. And don't say that it's the other fellow. You have your responsibility whenever there is any division among the Lord's people. Let's not simply reach over the walls and shake hands with our brothers and sisters. Let's kick these walls down. Let's meet together simply in the name of the Lord Jesus with fellow Christians. Now, this meeting together that he speaks about here is a foretaste of what it'll be like in heaven. The Lord Jesus is coming back for us. We're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. Now, he said, I want you to be rejoicing, and I want you to receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. That is, honor people like this. The world honors people, usually for selfish reasons. The world honors people because indirectly it honors themselves. But the Lord says, I want you to honor one another. Give honor to whom honor is due. Why did this man have honor coming to him? Well, it says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here's a man who was overdoing, who was working too hard, because others lacked service. What are you doing, brother and sister? What are you doing to keep other Christians from having to overdo? Are you doing your share of the work? Here's a man who made himself sick by overdoing it. In fact, the word not regarding is a term that was used of gambling. And in the first century, they applied this term to people who would risk their lives to nurse the sick and to bury the dead whenever there was a plague or anything of that kind. Anyone who was willing to risk his own life in order to do something for another, this is the word they used. How much risk are you willing to take for the care of fellow Christians? Remember, the Lord Jesus gave his life for us. He did not simply risk it. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for our sakes, and so he says we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren in 1 John 4. Now, brother and sister, the Lord Jesus has done so much for us. Let's give ourselves without reserve to serve him and to serve his people. And if you haven't trusted him, do so right now. Thank him that he loved you and that he died for you to give you eternal life. Thank him that he's coming back again. Shall we join in thanksgiving? Our Father, we do thank thee for thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. And our Savior, we thank thee for suffering and dying for us. We thank thee now that we are privileged to live for thee. Bless thy word to all who heard it, we pray. Save the lost and encourage thy children. In Jesus' name, amen.